A robot was programmed to believe that it liked herring sandwiches. This was actually the most difficult part of the whole experiment. Once the robot had been programmed to believe that it liked herring sandwiches, a herring sandwich was placed in front of it. Whereupon the robot thought to itself, "Ah, a herring sandwich. I like herring sandwiches." It would then bend over and scoop up the herring sandwich in its herring sandwich scoop, and then straighten up again. Unfortunately for the robot, it was fashioned in such a way that the action of straightening up caused the herring sandwich to slip straight back off its herring sandwich scoop and fall onto the ground in front of the robot, whereupon the robot thought to itself, "Ah, a herring sandwich," etc., and repeated the same action over and over and over again. The only thing that prevented the herring sandwich from getting bored of the whole damn business and going off in search of other ways of passing the time was that the herring sandwich, being just a bit of dead fish between a couple of slices of bread, was marginally less alert to what was going on than was the robot. The scientists at the Institute thus discovered the driving force behind all change, development, and innovation in life, which was this: herring sandwiches. They published a paper to this effect, which was widely criticized as being extremely stupid. They checked their figures and realized that what they had actually discovered was boredom, or rather the practical function of boredom. In a fever of excitement, they then went on to discover other emotions like irritability, depression, reluctance, ickiness, and so on. The next breakthrough came when they stopped using herring sandwiches, whereupon a whole welter of new emotions suddenly became available to them for study, such as relief, joy, friskiness, appetite, satisfaction, and most important of all, the desire for happiness. This was the biggest breakthrough of all. Vast wodges of complex computer code governing robot behaviour in all possible contingencies could be replaced very simply. All that robots needed was the capacity to be either bored or happy, and a few conditions that needed to be satisfied in order to bring those states about. They would then work out the rest for themselves. The robot which Ford had got trapped under his towel was not, at the moment, a happy robot. It was happy when it could move about. It was happy when it could see other things. It was particularly happy when it could see other things moving about, particularly if the other things were moving about doing things they shouldn't do, because then it could, with considerable delight, report them. Ford would soon fix that. He squatted over the robot and held it between his knees. The towel was still covering all of its sensory mechanisms, but Ford had now got its logic circuits exposed. The robot was whirring grungily and pettishly, but it could only fidget. It couldn't actually move. Using the prising tool, Ford eased a small chip out from its socket. As soon as it came out, the robot suddenly went quiet and just sat there in a coma. The chip Ford had taken out was the one which contained the instructions for all the conditions that had to be fulfilled in order for the robot to feel happy. The robot would be happy when a tiny electrical charge from a point just to the left of the chip reached another point just to the right of the chip. The chip determined whether the charge got there or not. Ford pulled out a small length of wire that had been threaded into the towel. He dug one end of it into the top left hole of the chip socket and the other into the bottom right hole. That was all it took. Now the robot would be happy whatever happened. Ford quickly stood up and whisked the towel away. The robot rose ecstatically into the air, pursuing a kind of wriggly path. It turned and saw Ford. "Mr. Prefect, sir, I'm so happy to see you."
"Good to see you, little fellow," said Ford.
The robot rapidly reported back to its central control that everything was now for the best in this best of all possible worlds, and the alarms rapidly quelled themselves, and life returned to normal. At least, almost to normal. There was something odd about the place. The little robot was gurgling with electric delight. Ford hurried on down the corridor, letting the thing bob along in his wake, telling him how delicious everything was and how happy it was to be able to tell him that. Ford, however, was not happy. He passed the faces of people he didn't know. They didn't look like his sort of people. They were too well groomed. Their eyes were too dead. Every time he thought he saw someone he recognized in the distance and hurried along to say hello, it would turn out to be someone else, with an altogether neater hairstyle and a much more thrusting, purposeful look than anybody Ford knew. A staircase had been moved a few inches to the left. A ceiling had been lowered slightly. A lobby had been remodeled. All these things were not worrying in themselves, though they were a little disorienting. The thing that was worrying was the decor. It used to be brash and glitzy. Expensive, because the guide sold so well throughout the civilized and post-civilized galaxy. But expensive and fun. Wild game machines lined the corridors. Insanely painted grand pianos hung from the ceilings. Vicious sea creatures from the planet Viv reared up out of pools in tree-filled atria.
Robot butlers in stupid shirts roamed the corridors, seeking whose hands they might press frothing drinks into. People used to have pet vast dragons on leads and pterosponders on perches in their offices. People knew how to have a good time, and if they didn't, there were courses they could sign up for which would put that right. There was none of that now. Someone had been through the place doing some iniquitous kind of taste job on it.